Hello world, this is the Gadget Flow Podcast, the show about everything related to products, entrepreneurship, marketing, and crowdfunding. This week, I got to chat with Giles Daw, and he is an entrepreneur, business owner, and an incredibly talented fine artist. We had a great conversation about transitioning from art into the business world and how to make your crowdfunding campaign stand out and be super successful. So without further ado, here is my interview with Giles Daw. Okay, I am here with Mr. Giles Daw. Giles, how are you doing, man?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. We're really excited to have you on the Gadget Flow podcast this week. And in researching you in order to do this interview, I discovered that you're not just an entrepreneur, but you're also a fine artist. And so, if you don't mind, would you mind if I ask you a few questions about that to start the interview?
Yeah, sure. My background is quite wide and varied, and hopefully it's quite interesting to the listeners.
Yeah, I was pretty fascinated because when I was looking you up and researching you, I stumbled across, I think it's just GilesDaw.com. Right. And it was like all this beautiful artwork and paintings. And I was a little bit confused because I was like, is this the right person? and then when I looked deeper and I like saw your LinkedIn profile and all that stuff, I realized like, oh yeah, he just does it all. So, So just for a little bit of backstory, how long have you been painting?
I've been painting for years. I've been painting since I was 16, at school, and I took it further and did a degree. And I actually did my fine art degree in France. That's a bit different. And I just took it forward, really. I went over to Hong Kong. I can talk about my web background. But, yeah, I went over to Hong Kong and I was doing full-time painting there. And did some artwork for a guy called Wo Kai Wai, which is like a famous award-winning Hong Kong film director. And he said he put some of my paintings in his film, one of his recent films, but that was a long time ago. I'm not sure where or if you could catch a glimpse of it somewhere. But yeah, my work is quite surreal, I guess. And I was doing that for a while. It was a full-time job.
That's very interesting, man. But I think it's cool to talk about because I know I have a background in the arts as well and kind of crossed over into the entrepreneurial business world. And I know that somehow, even though the two feel different, they're actually really, really similar in a lot of ways. And they actually are really intertwined. So, speak on that.
No, I can use the skills and the creativity and place it into, crowdfunding. You're trying to market yourself and promote yourself and you're thinking of visuals, things, and people check on their phones and they want to see things straight away. So I look at that sort of aspect as well. So, all my background can be used in the current work that I'm doing. So, it's all good.
Yeah. So before we get to exactly what you're doing now, like tell me about like the transition. So you were doing art full time, you said, and then now you're running your own business. Tell me about that journey a little bit.
The journey started after I finished my art degree because I realized it was so hard that to get a job doing painting, you have to be really famous or dead actually to sell your artwork. So I didn't fancy the last option. So I, it was around 1999 around that time that the web was taking off, and I thought this is quite interesting, and I learned it within a couple of months, and I ended up working for a local newspaper, which is connected to Daily Mail Group. It's quite a big publishing group, Daily Mail. And I worked there for a while and did their websites, and then went on to do websites for government within England, and that went quite well. But I felt at that time a nagging urge to just do more. They weren't as fast as what I'd like them to do, and they were saying it doesn't matter about how much we're spending. Let's keep on going. I wasn't interested in that, and I thought let's just do something different, and I ended up going to Hong Kong. And creating my own websites, because at the time I was thinking, why am I doing work for others, making sites for them? And then, I was actually doing my own sort of full-time work with websites and painting, and it was great. It went really well. And after that, I transitioned from, you know, Hong Kong is one of the most expensive places to live. I lived there for 6 years, and I ended up going to China instead. It was better because I had family as well at the time. It's better for my son to go to full-time education over there. And China was an amazing experience. And I was there for 7 years. And now I'm literally back into England now, back to where I came from after all this travel. And it's good. But how it developed and how I found crowdfunding and things like that was I had a gifts website. And actually did some work for Evan from the Gadget Flow, and he found me. And I actually did a couple of months' work on Gadget Flow. And with my gift site, actually, I found that people contacted me about Kickstarter campaigns. I didn't know much at the time. I was turning them away. I was saying, you know, I can't help you. I need actual live product, physical product that I can sell on my site. And I was turning them away, and I realized that I was getting so many inquiries that I could do something with it. And that's how Hyperstarter came about.
Right. Man, that's a cool story. That's amazing. You got to live, you know, in a few different places and see so much of the world that way. Okay. You transition into building Hyperstarter. Yeah. So give us the backstory there. Like, what about the crowdfunding market and that opportunity did you see that you thought, okay, this is where I need to go. This is what I need to be pursuing.
Yeah. Well, the market itself, if we just focus on Kickstarter, which I think is the biggest crowdfunding platform, they've got some stats like over 300,000 campaigns, 3.3 billion raised, and about 160 new campaigns a day. So it's huge. But what I've realized the failure of Kickstarter is that only 30% of all campaigns reach their minimum funded goal. And I thought, this is a huge number that don't actually reach their goal. What can I do to help them? And so I built Hyperstarter, which is still free to use. So it's a free to use, like a web analytics tool where web-based. And so you just run your Kickstarter URL and it spits out information on how you can improve your page. And why I focused on the campaign page itself is that I felt that it's the most important thing out of everything that you're doing, because your campaign page is basically your sales page. It's the one that, you know, you get pledges coming in, all those different types of things, and you're promoting yourself. And it's where the trust element comes in as well. So it doesn't matter where you're driving traffic to, if you're using Facebook ads and so on. It's basically down to your campaign page, how if you're putting the right message across and if people can trust you. And that's what I put the focus on, really, in the work that I do. And then, it's just taken off from there, really.
Yeah, so can you just, like, explain, like, how it works a little bit? So you just put in your URL for your campaign, and then essentially Hyperstarter just, like, scans your page and tells you this, and this could be different, and that's just based on, like, how did you build that out? I mean, not to get too technical, but is that just kind of how it works?
Yeah, it is actually how it works. So it looks at the number of images, it's the amount of text on the page, and it just gives you, it even looks at your social media, and it gives you advice on what you should, or what, you know, it gives you a rating and maybe a Hyperstarter rating on there on what you should be doing. And what I find is that because it's free to use, anyone can use it. I don't ask for an email address, sign up or anything like that. You sort of putting your foot in the door, really, and that people trust you. It's all about trust that I mentioned before, and they say, well, this guy's giving me something for free. What else can he do for me? What else can the Hyperstarter team can do? And then, it's just taken off, where then they go to, say, our other page where we can list them on our platform, or we can do other things, which is the hands-on work, which has got the most traction, I think, and that benefits the campaign owners more.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So what are some of the best, like, maybe just practically speaking, like, when you're building out a campaign page, like, maybe what's like one of the key elements to having a successful crowdfunding campaign page? Like, what stands out to you as one of those things that's like a non-negotiable, you need this?
There's quite a few elements, but I think it's to actually explain exactly what the, you know, say, take an actual product. You've got to explain what that actual product does. and the benefits behind it. Because what I like to do is when I'm scrolling down a page, you capture someone's attention. It's like when you're speaking to someone or when you're giving these 60-second pitches, you capture someone's attention. And as they're scrolling down the page, the campaign page itself, they understand more about what you're doing. Oh, I see some nice images of people enjoying using your product. I could imagine myself within that photo as well using this product. And they're sort of scrolling down. They say, oh, I see the technical features. I could use it with this and this and this. Oh, I see the specifications. Yep, I can do that. Oh, I see the timeline when we're going to receive this sort of thing. And it goes on. That's the basics, really. But to properly explain exactly what it does and how it can benefit you as a backer, when you think of your customers, that's probably the key point, really.
Yeah. So it's almost obvious sounding, but I bet it happens often to where, you know, a creator or someone putting a product out into the market, they're so close to it that they probably assume someone else knows more about it than they actually do.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true? Like when they're writing out their copy and stuff?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, you know, you could just do a quick search on Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and all the other platforms and maybe find a similar product to yours already. And then you're sort of saying, oh, they did something like this. And yeah, you need to sort of take a few steps back really and analyze, you know, the benefits of it. I listened to one of the previous podcasts with Roy from Aventis, where he was saying, you actually need to provide something of value to people. And for me, I'll just take it another step further and make sure it's not a novelty type product, because those things fade quite quickly. It has to be something that benefits someone. And that's how I would approach it.
So how do you guys, because I know that you offer the free tool, but then when you're working with clients, like, how do you decide who you want to work with? You know, is it kind of like you see a product and you can get behind it, something you'd actually want to use, something you'd get excited about? Like, how do you sift out who you want to do work with?
I try to work with most people, and I'm quite honest and approachable, I guess that would be the word to use. In that, I'll just give my feedback on it. Maybe they've got something that isn't ready now, but later it could be. But ideally, when you're working on a campaign, you should see that, you know, it worked for others in the past, which is a great way that we approach this hands-on work, and that we look at the competitors and even see who they connected with, even the words that your competitors used to when they were doing their pitches, whether you look at their press release or something like that. And then you could say, oh, these guys raised X amount and they were featured on this site. Oh, this writer wrote about them as well. Okay, let's approach them in a similar way. But how we work on it, we need all these things ready. So we need the campaign page ready. We need all the press materials ready. And it's all sort of connected really as well, because, you know, you're telling a story within your press kit, and then you're sort of taking it further and using maybe those words on your campaign page as well. And then that's also connected to the pitches, where you're sort of taking a few sentences and using that within the direct pitches as well. So yeah, it's all sort of connected in a way. And also social media, it's a great way to connect with people instantly and then try and follow up with an email afterwards.
That was gonna be my next question actually, is how the best practices for people when they're doing their, you know, say they get their campaign knocked out and their page looks amazing. Yeah. What are the next steps after that? Like how do you get people to your page? How do you successfully, you know, tell the right story, maybe not directly on the campaign page, but using email and using social media? Like, what are some best practices to doing that?
Well, I've been looking at guys, you know, I've been talking about competitors, but I also look at my competitors as well. So people who, you know, whether it's agencies, you know, looking at the guys like, you know, Command Partners Funded Today, and I see how they talk and how they approach campaigns. So they say, you know, look at friends, family and fools, and to look at within your own network and see if you can capture their emails, or you don't know someone personally that could help you or back you or support you in a way, but maybe your friends, family, fools, they could help you in a way. They might know someone. So it's a good way to look at who you're connected with already, get everyone in the team involved, and you could look at whether collecting emails and getting the word out that way. You know, hopefully you can back me on day one, or You know, even if you're not interested in our product, just donating $1 would help within Kickstarter itself. Just things like that, and you're going on further and taking it further to maybe running a competition to collect emails and get the word out, or that type of thing.
So when you're working with clients, what differentiates you guys from your competitors? Like, what makes you different at Hyperstarter than maybe what other people do who do this similar kind of thing to help out crowdfunding campaigns and stuff like that? Like, what makes you guys unique?
Yeah, I think our unique approach is that we're really in touch with our customers and find out what they need and what they want. And then going from there, if you look at our competitors, even, you know, the other agencies that, you know, could be considered competitors to us, we found out their problems, actually. And we found out that they turn away something like 90% of their customers, which I think is huge. And I think we're finding out that they're turning those guys away, that we can actually help those campaign owners to check their campaigns or work with us and develop. We're not just after the huge campaigns. We actually want to work on the majority, but there's certain ways to do it, and that's what we're involved in.
Yeah, I think that's huge, man, because what's crazy about that is you're bound to strike gold. You know, it's good for you and for the creators because, you know, maybe somewhere in that 90%, there's a hit waiting, you know, like a really big campaign that could really benefit you guys. But also, I mean, that's just a huge portion of people who could use some help to make their stuff stand out a little more. So that's definitely cool that you guys do that.
Yeah. It's the same approach when I work on campaigns. So we look at competitors, but if you also turn it around and look at our own competitors, say, I realize they have a problem as well. And this is how we would approach it and using our tool and our hands-on work. So yeah, that's an interesting thing to mention.
That's smart. Yeah. So taking a step in a different direction a little bit. So you are running the company, and looking at your guys' page, you have a small staff working alongside you?
Yeah, I do. From China to the States to, just all over the place, really. India.
That's cool. Yeah. So just as an entrepreneur, I'm curious, what are some maybe of your greatest challenges, but also the best parts of having working with a team of people, not just on your own?
I think I've known these guys that I've worked with for years. So, I'm just trying to imagine what it's like to get someone new on board, because they sort of know how I work and I know how they work. I think the challenge is that it's just sticking to it, isn't it? Because we're all working at home, we're home-based, and it's finding the challenge is actually concentration and sitting down. It's so easy when you're based at home to, you know, look somewhere else or just go out for a few hours and come back and not concentrate exactly what you're doing. It's really hard, actually, because that would be if people are working from home, they'd realize that you do need to stick it out and change your scenery sometimes, or work in a cafe, which is what I was doing in China as well. I had a base sit over there, but I was going out just to try something new. So it can be quite tough at times.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I always admire when you can successfully get multiple people working together and you're not all in the same place. Yeah. I think that's a huge challenge, but when you can do it, it's awesome. Yeah. So I have two more questions for you. And one of them, if you were talking to a new entrepreneur or a creator, someone who's wanting to launch something, what would you say is the most vital thing to think about when they're launching a crowdfunding campaign? Like, what is the big thing that they need to focus on when working on a crowdfunding campaign? Maybe besides the obvious, have a great product.
Yeah, they have a great product, and will it sell? Or, you know, it's such a huge thing, really, that I don't know. Maybe you could ask me another question and I could come back to it, because I'm not actually sure how to answer that, because it's quite an open question, really.
Well, maybe instead of like one thing that's most important, maybe like you're getting started. Like, how would you tell someone, okay, so you have this idea and it's pretty good. This is how you get started. Like, this is where you should start from.
You should start
maybe like researching.
You know, of course, you research, and that's what I mentioned before about looking what others have done. And if you can follow with their path, yeah, and you see you've got a product and you type it in on, say, Kickstarter, and realize that none of those guys have been successful in what they've done. None of them reached their goal. And you're thinking, well, you know, I'm creating something similar, and you know, there's no traction, there's no interest. What can I do? It's not that you haven't got a great product. Maybe those guys marketed it in a different way or something like this. I was actually part of Entrepreneurial Spark within Bristol. They've got all different types of branches all over the UK. And it's great because you see different entrepreneurs at different stages. And I was in, you know, the upper stage, and I'll see the guys with, you know, someone's got a social media agency, or someone's got this, what they do, running type product. And, you know, we're all together and we're talking to each other about the challenges, but we're all sort of facing the same sort of issues, which is, you know, making sales. And, yeah, that's the most important thing. And I guess as an entrepreneur, you need to be like a salesperson. You need to just get your message out there and get the word out there and just constantly be promoting yourself. And, I'm lucky in that Hyperstarter gets a lot of its traffic from word of mouth or recommendations and all natural type things. I haven't done any, you know, paid ads or you know, proper promotion in that sort of way. So it's going well, and I do need to do that because that's the advice I give to others. But, it's going well for us. And, yeah, so that's what I would take out of it.
Yeah. Well, you guys offer such a great free resource. Yeah. I think that in itself is huge in getting people interested in what you're doing. So, Giles, where can people connect with you and what you're doing? Where would you want people to go find you online?
Yeah, go to hyperstarter.com, check us out, see what we're doing. And then, yeah, feel free to get in touch. We reply to every email.
Cool, man. Cool. Well, Giles, thank you so much for being on. I seriously, like, so much of what you said was so helpful and so awesome. Yeah. And I look forward to talking again in the future. And I look forward to seeing what Hyperstarter does next. So thank you so much for being on the show, man.
All right. Thanks, Alex.
That was my interview with Giles Daw. So please make sure to go check out Hyperstarter and get in touch with them if you're looking for help in making your next crowdfunding campaign a major hit. Thanks for being on, Giles. This podcast is made by Gadgetflow, and we're proud to be the number one platform to find new and awesome gadgets. So please make sure to check out our site all the time. Just keep heading over there and checking out all the new and amazing products we're curating every single day. We'll be back next week with another episode. So in the meantime, please go rate and review our show on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening to the Gadgetflow podcast.